Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Road rules, the road rules for life. One verse for your consideration tonight, the basis of our entire teaching. I've got a lot of things to say. I've got 4 weeks to say it, so we'll be all right. I'm going to get you out of here on time. John 16:13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, Jesus said he will guide you into all truth. Somebody say all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Two things that the Spirit does here, that Jesus said, he guides us into all truth, and then he prophesies, he shows us things that are about to come. Everybody say road rules. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, do you drive all right? And just listen to what they have to tell you back. You may be seated. Have you ever driven with a crazy driver? Are you sitting next to a crazy driver? Just be honest, are you sitting next to a driver that doesn't really know what this means? Are you sitting next to a driver that doesn't really do this every time this sign shows up? We call it a California stop. We just kind of roll on through. And before we get to the signs, and I wish that all the signs in our walk with God were this obvious, however they're not. And we have to really understand that there is one gift that Jesus has given us that will tell us and that will showcase these signs, but they're not obvious. I grew up out in the country, and I learned to drive with my dad and my mom. Now, those experiences were completely different. When I was driving with dad, it was always some beat-up ranch truck that it really didn't matter if I hit a gatepost. Didn't really matter if I was going. There wasn't such thing as too fast, because when you're out in the field, you can't go real, real fast. And so that was before cell phones, so I'd get in there, and dad would just kind of just sit there, and I'd go off the way we go, and every once in a while, he'd give me some direction on where I need to turn, what I need to do, all those old country roads. However, when I drove with Pastor Becky, it was usually on Pat Booker Road or Interstate 35, and it wasn't in a beat-up truck. It was in her brand-new Lincoln Town Car. And so she would ride shotgun, and she would have her hand on the dash, and our entire trip would go a little something like this. Slow down, baby. You see that? It's about to turn red. Slow down. That car's braking in front. I'm like, Mom, that's like 100 yards ahead. Yeah, but I don't think you see it. You need to be preparing for that. And so it was a lot more fun driving with Dad than it was with Mom. But learning to drive is not just learning how the car works and the vehicle works, but it's learning what all of these signs mean. And I know that a lot of us have problems in our walk with God because of us not being able to follow the signs, because those signs, a lot of them are spiritual, and we can't see them with our own eyes. You know why I know we have a hard time doing that? Because these signs are bright red and bright orange, and we can't follow those. They're 20 feet in front of our car, and we're still rolling through. We're ignoring them. Sir, do you realize how fast you were going? I was going at least 85. I know, it's a school zone. You're supposed to be going 25. Meaning I saw them and I ignored them, or I didn't know. Ignorance is no self-defense. You get pulled over going 90 in a 60, and when they ask you why you were speeding, you say, I didn't know the speed limit. That's not going to save you from a ticket. Most of the time, that makes them even angrier, and you might get two tickets. They might start really searching for reasons to give you a ticket, and so when we start talking about the signs and the road rules for life, it all points to John 16:13. And when Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, Jesus knows, I've been living on this earth for 33 years. For 3.5 years, I've been teaching. I've been working miracles. I've been walking and living with 12 men that are still not grasping and embracing why I really came. Jesus did not come to show us how to die. Jesus came to show us how to live. Jesus came so that we might live and have life in abundance. Every person on this earth, all, Almost 8 billion of us now are on a journey. We're on a path. We're on a road. We are all striving for a destination. There are not many destinations. The Bible breaks it down to two destinations. There is heaven and there is hell. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there which go in thereat." Verse 14, "Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And the reason that few find it is that they are not in tune or in touch with the Holy Spirit. And because they are not in tune and touch with the Holy Spirit, they don't see the exit sign when to get off the wide road that is going to destruction and get on the narrow road. Now, a couple years ago, I was in New Mexico. Now, one of the things that I struggle with and I need to overcome is a fear of heights. I don't like being high up. To lean out across this balcony literally makes my palms sweat and my heart race a little bit. I think that's why God made me 5'7¾" and not 6'8". He said, "I need to keep Brandon low to the ground." But a couple years ago, we were in New Mexico, and there is a mountain called Apache Mountain right outside Ruidoso. And we got about halfway up that mountain, and I'm driving, and there are no guardrails once you get up to a certain point, and it is a sheer drop-off. And my mind starts thinking, what if I press the accelerator on accident? What if my brakes fail? What if another car comes around and pushes us off? And so your mind starts going to the impossible, and it is a narrow road. And a narrow road is a lot harder to navigate. And so most people, they shy away from the most difficult things in life to take the easy way. Can I encourage you? God has not called us to take the easy road. God has not called us to take the easy way out. God has called us to get on the straight and narrow road. God has called us to get on sometimes the lonely road. Sometimes we are going against the grain and against the crowd. But I am here to encourage you. I am here to challenge you with this, that no matter how tough it gets, stay on the road that God wants you to be on, because the blessing and the favor and the destination is worth the trip that you go on. So many believers are on the right road. We're on the narrow. We're on the straight and narrow. But are continually, in these five things we do a lot of, we're continually breaking down. We're continually making U-turns. Continually running out of gas. Continually riding with the wrong people. Continually taking bad directions. Have you ever broke down? It's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling to know that the vehicle that you were depending on to transport you to your destination is no longer working the right way. That would be our lives. You can be on the right road, but if you're broke down, it doesn't matter if you're on the right road. It doesn't even matter if you have the right directions. If you're broke down, you cannot be where God has called you to be at the appointed time and the appointed place. That's why Wednesday night's church is so important, because we come together, and in this place, we're working on our vehicle. We're working on our body, our heart, our mind, our spirit. We're working on vision. We're making sure that things, when the check engine light comes on, that's the Spirit saying, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. There's something under your hood, under your heart that's not right. And so when we come on Wednesday, sometimes it's not all butterflies. Sometimes it's not all skipping through the tulips and the daisies. Sometimes we come on a Wednesday night because we say, God, I feel like I'm going the right direction, but I don't know if I can make it another day. But I'm here to encourage you and fire you up in faith, saying, if you're on the right road, the devil would love for you to break down mentally, spiritually, physically, but you are not that people. You've got a God that has gone before you. You've got a God that's coming up behind you. You've got a guy that's fighting from the inside, and I'm here to tell you, don't break down. Work on yourself in faith. Stir up yourself in the Holy Ghost. Get the Word of God working. Let your faith go, and watch God take you to the destination and the destiny that He's called you to be on. Then some of us, we make U-turns. Anybody ever make a U-turn where you weren't supposed to make a U-turn? Anyone ever make a U-turn because you had bad information and you thought you passed what you were looking for? And so you make U-turn. I did that the other day in South Texas. I was looking for a specific spot, and Lord knows that Apple GPS and other GPSs will take you to where they think you're supposed to be, and you look up, and you're nowhere where you're supposed to be. And I kept making U-turns, and I found out a lot about myself in that when I make a U-turn, I am using the same amount of energy. I'm using resources, but I'm not going anywhere. It's like jumping on a treadmill. And you can get on a treadmill and you can tell yourself you've run 10 miles, but you've really been in the same place. And there's a lot of us spiritually, I'm just speaking not from experience, the 10 miles on a treadmill, but God, no. I'm speaking from what I've heard, not what I've done. But a lot of us are on a spiritual treadmill. We're on the right road, but we keep making U-turns, and we get so faith-filled on Sunday, and, man, we're walking in faith, and then something happens on Monday, and we turn, and we go back, and we just got here in the nick of time on Wednesday, and we turn back, and we just keep treading the same asphalt over and over and over again, and we look up 6 months down the road, 6 years down the road, and we have not accomplished anything. We haven't become anything, all because we continually do U-turns. And see, I'm preaching this on a Wednesday night because I'm preaching to 99% of the people in this room or that are watching by live stream. You're on the right road. But it's not just about being on the right road. It's about covering the distance God wants you to. And it's about making the destination that God wants you to get at. And so what we're talking about is being on the right road and doing the right things. And so some of us, we make U-turns. Some of us, our cars are breaking down. Others of us, we run out of gas. How many of you have ever run out of gas? How many of you are lying about not running out of gas ever? I've run out of gas twice because I am disobedient to my parents. My parents, their rule was half a tank is empty when we were growing up. And I remember that rule every time that I'm below half a tank. I hear my mom and my dad telling me that. And I like to challenge my car. And when it says 50 miles till empty, I've been told that you have a gallon of gas after you hit zero. One time I ran out of gas in Brookshire, Texas at about 3 a.m. and I had to push my truck a mile, all because I didn't make the right decision and I did not pull over and make sure that I was filled up before I continued on my journey. And there's a lot of people that are trying to continue on their journey and you're not full of the right stuff. And we keep saying, I think I can make it a little farther. And let me tell you something. This journey that we're on is too important for us to think and hope we can make it. We need to be able to say, no, I've got a full tank. I can ride all night long. I can make it through the darkest place. I can make it through the furthest place. One of the loneliest drives in America is from here to El Paso. I've driven it 3 times. And it's a little disconcerting once you get about 200 miles out of San Antonio and you start seeing signs like no gas or this is the last gas for 150 miles and everybody's pulling off. But there's some people who say, no, I think I can make it. This is too valuable. Your future is too valuable to just think that you can make it. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important. That's why church is so important. That's why the Word is so important, because I'm filling myself up because I don't know what's on the other side of that mountain. I don't know exactly where God is taking me, and I want to make sure that I have everything that I need to get to the destination that God is calling me to. Then some of us are on the right road and we're driving with the wrong people. How many of you like road trips? All right, there's 6 of us. We should take one. Let's get in the church van. I like road trips as long as I have approved everybody that's going to be in that car. Because I would rather ride with the right people from here to New York City than from here to Austin with the wrong people. And there's a lot of us that are on the right path with the wrong people. And if you let the wrong people stay in your car on the right path for long enough, you will U-turn. You will take a left where you were supposed to take a right. You will keep going when God says stop. You will keep going when the Holy Spirit says yield. And so I need everybody for the next 3.5 weeks, I need you to start checking your vehicle and make sure that everybody that God said is supposed to be in your car is in your car. And I need you to check and make sure that people that God gave no approval to be in your car. Listen, it doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means they're bad for you. There are some people that you can't trust in your car. One of the things that I've been telling Tyler is Tyler, when you get your license here in a couple months and you get your wheels, you better make sure that you know who is in your car, because in the state of Texas, if they find something in one of your friend's pockets, it's in your pocket, and you shouldn't be locked up. You shouldn't be restrained because of somebody that rode with you. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of us in this place that we've got a destination that God has called us to. We've got greatness on the inside of us, and just like Jesus saying, I put a spirit on the, he gave us the spirit for a reason, because there's some Sometimes I get around people and the spirit is quenched. Then I get around other people and my spirit leaps like it did when Elizabeth and Mary got together. Anyone who makes your baby leap, you better get them in your car. But anybody that would quench the spirit, you better say, you better get out and hitchhike another ride, because you can't stay in this car. Why? Because I'm going someplace. Well, Pastor, that's kind of rude and that's kind of crude. Nope. If my future depends on the people riding in my car, I can't afford to be nice all the time. I can't afford to be politically correct. Sometimes I'm not going to have a lot of tact. Sometimes I just got to slow down, reach across them, open the door, and say, if you ain't for me, you're against me, and you're going to have to catch another ride. Then a lot of times we take bad directions. On the right path, taking bad directions. Have you ever seen somebody that was doing so good spiritually until they met him or until they met her? And maybe we're not even talking about a relationship. Maybe we're talking about a job. They were doing so well until they took overtime. And they found themselves at the office a little longer and a little later with him or with her. And they started missing church, and they started missing out on things that their family was doing, and missing time with their kids, and they took bad financial advice. Let me just encourage you. If you don't like the life of the person giving advice, don't take it. If they're giving you marital advice, look at their marriage. If they're giving you money advice, check their statements. If they're giving you spiritual advice, check their fruit. And make sure that they're giving you directions that they have followed already. Not that they're going to follow, but that they have already followed, and it is proven in their life. It's the reason why David said, Saul, what you have proven, he said, I have not yet proven. And I need to go with what has worked for me. And what worked for me on the backside of nowhere is going to be the same thing that works for me when I fight Goliath. Can I encourage you? You might be on the right road, but you need to make sure that you're not taking bad advice, because you could be this close to your breakthrough and this close to your destination, and the devil's going to fight like hell to get you. Yeah, I said it on a Wednesday night. He's going to fight like hell to get you off track, right? The Bible talks about when he knows his time is short, he comes against you with everything that he's got. He comes against you on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and he's fighting. You say, man, why is he fighting me like this? Because you're on the right road, because you're doing the right. The devil does not fight somebody who's sitting down. The devil does not fight somebody who's broke down. The devil fights somebody who's on the right road, the straight and narrow, and he fights you according to what you've come out of and where God has taken you. And I'm here to tell you, keep driving, keep going, keep walking. Why? Because there's a promise in front of you. So how can we avoid the potholes, the wrong turns? How do we know which way to go at the fork in the road? How do we know which way to go when we come to that four-way stop and we can turn left, right, or keep going straight? How do we know? How do we navigate the road of life? Two words: Holy Ghost. 1 week ago tonight, my family and I were blessed to sit in one of the greatest conferences in United States, our nation, in El Paso at Abundant Faith Living Center there at their Thrive Conference. And I heard a preacher who gets a lot of bad publicity, gets a lot of bad rap. His name is Carl Lentz. You say, well, you shouldn't say that publicly. Just put them in your Google machine. You'll see everything they're saying about them. But I also saw a young man stand on that platform in front of Baptists, in front of Pentecostals, in front of some Catholics, in front of all types of people. And I heard him preach a word on the Holy Spirit that every church in America needs to hear, and they need to hear it out of his mouth, because here's somebody that they say doesn't believe in the Holy Ghost. And he just started, and I knew where I was going this Wednesday night and talking about this series, but when he began to preach on that, it just quickened something in my spirit. And so for the next few moments, before we get to the signs next week, we got to lay some foundation. The Holy Ghost is the only way you can navigate your life and navigate yourself on the road of faith and have a successful destination, have a successful marriage, raise successful children, make a lot of money in the process, serve God in the process, have a big ministry in the process. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is what it's referred to in the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost is what it's referred to in the New Testament. What's the difference between the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost? Somebody had to die. Jesus died, and now we're introduced to the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. This is the kick I've been on the last few months. I preached this just for about 3 minutes at our summer camp, and 62 young people got filled with the Holy Ghost. Last Wednesday night, they preached Holy Ghost in El Paso, Texas, and I'm talking about the easiest I've ever seen it. About 500 people were filled with the Holy Ghost, all in the matter of about 6 or 7 minutes. It is that special. It is that important. But this is the kick I've been on. There are so many people that have confused the evidence of the Holy Spirit with the purpose of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are people that avoid Living Way because they say we're crazy because we speak in tongues. They don't realize that speaking in tongues is not why the Holy Ghost was given. Speaking in tongues is the evidence that I have the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Ghost that Jesus said was coming is now available. It's evident in my life. But speaking in tongues is not the purpose. It is just the symbol and the evidence that I have it. Acts 2:4 talks about the evidence. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty. When you realize that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive the power. The Bible says that we will speak in other tongues. When you realize that speaking in tongues is the evidence, but it does not stop there, that's just the beginning. That's where the road of life gets very fun, because you realize that on this road called believership and in faith, that you become unstoppable. You will wake up speaking in tongues just to prove to the devil, just to prove to the world, just to prove to every demon that, hey, listen, I'm not like the other guy. I'm not like the guy you messed with down the block yesterday. I'm a Holy Ghost-filled, Spirit-filled, Bible-talking, anointed Christian that speaks in tongues. Not the purpose. It is the evidence. Here's the purpose. Mark 16:17-18. I'm sorry, here's the evidence. Mark 16:17-18. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Ushers, if you'll begin to pass out the snakes. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Just think. They do that some places. They'll drink deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is what Jesus said now. These signs will follow those that what believe. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak in tongues. Now, I've never heard anyone preach what I'm about to preach, but I hope it's going to bless you. Matthew chapter 7 tells us this, that many people will come to Jesus, and they will say, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not work signs and wonders? Did we not show that we were true believers? And Jesus said, I will tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. But you know what the Bible doesn't say that Jesus said is the ones that speak in tongues. Because when I start speaking in tongues, it puts me in a different category than the other so-called believers, because it is proof that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in me. And so when I wake up in the morning or I'm fighting the devil back and I begin to, it is a symbol to the devil that this is a man that not only says he cast out devils, he has the power to cast out devils. Doesn't say he can heal the sick. He literally walks in hospital rooms and out, and he leads the people that were on the gurneys, the cots, and the beds, and they follow him out because he's got a power that is evident. The Holy Ghost was given for many things. Let's go through these real quick. Holy Ghost was given to anoint. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised." Do you understand when God gives you his Spirit and you become filled with the Holy Ghost, more than speaking in tongues in an altar, you are now anointed. You have the fresh oil. You leave this place with a different mindset. You leave this place with different abilities. The Holy Ghost does for believers what a telephone booth did for Clark Kent. It literally gives you supernatural abilities. It gives you superhuman abilities. I love preaching about the Holy Ghost because by myself I am nothing. But when I get in the Holy Ghost, I stand 10 feet tall. When I get in the Holy Ghost, there is nothing that I cannot do in Jesus' name. When I get in the Holy, I can be stuck. I can be stopped. I can have a question, but oh, when I remember I am anointed. I'm anointed to be what God has called me to be. I'm too anointed to die now. I'm too anointed to stop now. Come on. I'm too anointed to be what they said I am. I am anointed, and I am anointed for a reason. I'm anointed to preach. I'm anointed to set at liberty. I'm anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. All of that comes when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, "Pastor Brandon, what does this have to do with the signs, and what does this have to do with the road rules?" And listen, I'm here to tell you, the Spirit of God is the only way you're going to see the signs. Without the Holy Ghost, you can't see the signs. Without the Holy Ghost, you're not going to know whether to go left or right. Without the Holy Ghost, you're not going to know whether to accept his proposal or deny it. I watched one the other day on TV, epic fail, Houston Rockets game. He got down on one knee and asked her last year. She said no. Ran off. Man, James Harden's not the only one in Houston that can't get a ring. Homeboy on it. Oh, that was a good one if you don't. I just thought of that one as I was going. The anointing gives me the ability to do things that I formerly could not do. David, I don't want to get too far into this, David was a nobody shepherd boy until he was anointed. Then he was known as Goliath slain, king of all of Israel. Saul has slain his thousands. David his 10,000. David hadn't slayed 10,000. David had slayed one, but they said if he could do that to the one, listen, what happens when people around you begin to prophesy for you and they see the anointing on your life in such a way, they say, "We have not seen nor heard what this young man is capable of." Can I encourage you today? You might not be able to see it because you're in the big middle of it, but can I prophesy and tell you that I see an anointing on this church? I see an anointing on the people of this church that when you leave here, you might not be able to see it, but we see it. You leave out of here looking for lions to kill, looking for Goliaths to behead. I am here to tell you, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're anointed. Second reason the Holy Ghost is given. Now we're not talking about evidence. We're talking about the purpose. He is our comforter. John 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father," Jesus said, "and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Verse 26. "But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you." I love this. He tells us so explicitly that the Holy Ghost, not just the yeradabasitaradakosa, but when the Holy Ghost shows up, it comforts me. I love what it says here, though. Listen to what it says in verse 26.
the Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance all that was said. Can I just tell you, as believers, the any time that we get depressed, it's because we forgot. Any time that we get down, it's because we forgot. Any time that we don't think that we're good enough, that we don't think that there's value in who we are, which is a huge problem in our society today. Anytime that we get those kinds of feelings, God said, hey, that Holy Ghost that caused you to speak in tongues, that Holy Ghost that anointed you, it is your comforter. And listen, the comforter is not there to just coddle us and say, well, everything's going to be all right, and they shouldn't have treated you that way. The comforter really comes and embraces us and says, let me remind you who you are. I've got a plan for your life. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I sanctified you. I set you apart for great purpose. Let me remind you that I've got a purpose for your life, that you have a plan, not of evil, but of an expected end. Can I remind you that your mama could have aborted you? Could I remind you that your mama could have miscarried you, but here you stand today? Can I, that the first husband tried to snuff you out, but here you stand today? That you've been kicked around, but I'm here to remind you, you're still here for a purpose. And true comfort comes from the Holy Ghost on the road of life. When I don't think I have what it takes to press forward, he comes along beside me and kicks me into gear, saying, there's a better day, there's a better way, there's a better you, and I want you to shake yourself loose from those kinds of thoughts. Can we do a couple more real quick? The Holy Ghost gives power. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you have been endured with power from on high. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses in both Jerusalem and Judea and all of Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. There is a power that comes with the Holy Ghost, that when I hit the detour sign and I want a U-turn and go the other way, and when I hit the wrong way sign, there is a power that will not let me stop. There is a power. We talk about staying power, and we talk about starting power. But can I tell you, there is a continuing power on the road of faith that every believer needs, that no matter what the devil throws at you, you grin and you bear it. And listen, you bear it because he already bore it. And so everything, all there is a faith that you can wake up with, and it gives you joy knowing that whatever the devil throws at me today, my God has already made a way for me to escape. There is a power knowing that whatever comes against me, I've got enough power to carry it. I've got enough power to push through it. I've got enough power to cast it. Whatever I need to do in that moment, I've got the power. All because, that's the evidence. But my purpose is, he's a comforter. I'm anointed. I've got power. Let's do one more. Luke 12:12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Can I tell you, as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to take the next statement out of your vocabulary. Well, I don't know what to say. That's not a great confession, because the Bible says the Spirit will teach us what we ought to say. So keep your mouth shut until you've been filled enough with the Spirit, so that when I open up my mouth, I move mountains, I don't create them. I cast out devils, I don't call them to me. When I speak, I believe I should say exactly what God says. And where God is silent, I should be silent. Where God is loud, I should be loud. Where God is bold, I should be bold. And the Spirit, sometimes when I know, Brandon, you got to be politically correct, and Brandon, this is a good time for you to sit down and kind of fade in the scenery. It is those times that God said, Brandon, I did not give you your attitude and personality. personality to blend in with everybody. I know for a fact that God gave me the voice he gave me. God gave me the attitude and personality he gave me because he said, Brandon, when you learn to talk right, I need you to stand loud and talk proud like my friend says. And when I know what to say, you can guarantee I'm going to say it. Stand on your feet.